let's get started today. Got a lot to talk about and a very small amount of time to do it. So this is lesson number four. We're going to talk about the coming Jewish temple. It's prophesied in the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that a new Jewish temple would be built in the last days before the second coming of Christ. This third temple will exist during the tribulation period, and it would be a very important part of the puzzle of last day events as recorded in the book of Revelation. In the book of Daniel, he refers to this coming temple in Daniel 9:27, because he tells us that in the last half of the tribulation period, that the Antichrist would enter the Jewish temple. He would stop the sacrifices. And then Paul mentions it also in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said that the man of sin, the Antichrist, would profane the Jewish temple by setting himself up to be God and having people to honor him as God. So this coming temple is a key component to fulfill Bible prophecy, and that would, of course, hasten the coming of the Lord. So we're going to briefly hit on some history today. So we're going to do it as rapid fire as we can. We try to keep these teachings at about 30 minutes, and we're going to do our best to do that today. So we have three main headings that we are going to talk about. Number one is the history of the Jewish temples. Number two is the coming prophesied temple. That's what this lesson is entitled, the prophetical new temple that's going to come in the days ahead. And then the third thing, we're going to talk about some key components of the coming third temple. So let's get started. First of all, let's talk about the history of Jewish temples. From Moses to Solomon, you know, the tabernacle was the place for Israel to worship. God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle, gave him the floor plan, gave him all the details, and there would be in the floor plan of the tabernacle a place called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant would dwell. And the presence of God, of course, the presence of God was upon the ark. You know, the presence of God would be revealed, manifested in the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest was allowed to go there, and that once a year, to make atonement for sin. Of course, it foreshadows and pictures the image of Jesus Christ, who would be the ultimate high priest, who would go to the cross, die for our sins, open the door of access into the presence of God once and forever. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. So we're going to talk about that today because, you know, David had a vision to build a temple for the Lord. But the Bible says that David was a man of war and his hands were bloody. So he was not allowed to build the temple. But after his death, his son Solomon would take up that vision. So after David's death, Solomon, his son, built the temple. Now, this temple was replaced by others, but all of them were built on the same site. And that brings us to the historic Temple Mount right there in Israel, where they have the remnants of the temple, the wall that surrounded the temple, and of course, it has the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim shrine that is on the Temple Mount, a very holy place for both Jews, Muslims, and Christians as well. So let's just briefly talk about these temples. So it all began with Solomon's temple, number one. It was completed about 960 BC. This temple, Solomon's temple, stood for nearly 400 years before it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and his armies around 586 BC. Last week's lesson, we talked about the Babylonian Empire. Our lesson was last days, the last days spirit of Babylon, and kind of talked a little bit about the history of that and the spiritual significance of that. You know, so again, the history comes in here with Solomon's temple because Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, destroyed, his armies destroyed it around 586 BC. Then we have what is called Zerubbabel's temple. It was built between 536 and 516 BC. After the Jews returned from captivity in Babylon, Zerubbabel led this project. Zerubbabel was the governor of Jerusalem who directed this project. It was as large as Solomon's temple. However, it lacked the Ark of the Covenant because it was lost at this point. So it lacked that very vital component. Because remember, it had been taken by the Babylonians. All right, so this temple, Zerubbabel's temple, was not destroyed, but it was rebuilt and expanded by Herod the Great, who ruled in Palestine when Jesus was born. So that brings us to Herod's temple. We have it in the outline as the third temple, but it's really just a reconstruction project of the second temple. So Herod's temple, you know, that we have in our syllabus notes, this was the result of a rebuilding program that was begun by Herod around 20 BC. So to avoid tearing down completely the old temple, the rebuilding of the temple was done a little at a time. It took a year and a half to complete the project, but the work on the surrounding buildings went on for years. And the temple was not completed until about 64 AD, only 6 years before the Romans would destroy it. So the Jews have been without a temple for a long time. And why is this so important? Because the Old Testament prophecies said that prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, that they would have a temple and the Old Testament sacrificial system would be reinstituted. So that's why this is a key component that would take place prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. Just to further touch a little bit on history. You know, we read a lot about the synagogues in the New Testament. So I want you to have some understanding of how that came about. All right, so after the Jewish temple was destroyed by Rome in 70 AD, you know, the synagogues were then built. The synagogue was begun during the Babylonian captivity when the temple was in ruins. So the Jews, unable to go to Jerusalem to worship God, they would meet for worship and teachings in various towns where they lived. So there was only one temple, you know, that had existed for the nation for all those years. And now that temple is, you know, is gone. So they built synagogues. So each community could have a synagogue. You know, just like communities have local churches today. So after the temple was destroyed, and the Jews returned out of captivity and they began to reestablish themselves, then they would build synagogues. So the synagogue functioned for several different things. And just to go over that real quick. First of all, the synagogue was like a school where the Old Testament law and the prophets were read and taught. Again, very similar to what we do in local churches. You know, we meet together as the body of Christ. We preach the gospel. You know, we have prayer and of course, we have communion services and water baptism services. All of those things take place in the context of the local church. Well, very similar, you know, of what they did in the synagogues. It was a place of instruction, a place of teaching. Secondly, a synagogue was also a house of worship for the Sabbath day, and for other occasions as well. Third thing, it was a day school for the children, where the scriptures were taught to the kids, as well as reading and writing. So synagogues served multiple purposes in the history of the Jewish people. And of course, we can go into the New Testament Gospels, and we read, you know, about Jesus going into the synagogue, and what would he do? He would open the scripture and he would begin to read from the prophets. So the synagogues were very, very important in Jewish life and continue to be so even today. Let's move on to our second heading about the coming temple. Because this last day's prophesied Jewish temple is going to happen. It is going to be rebuilt. The prophet Ezekiel proclaimed that God would have a sanctuary among his people forever. In Ezekiel 37:28, he said, "The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel. When my sanctuary," or we could say his temple, "my sanctuary," or "my temple, will be in their midst forever." That's Ezekiel 37:28. Ezekiel had a lot to say about the Jewish temple because he had a vision of it. And he said a lot about it in his writings. Second thing about this coming temple, the prophets Amos and Isaiah both prophesied that the Jews would return to the ancient land and they would rebuild the ruined cities. Listen to what Amos says in chapter 9. "I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land that I have given them, says the Lord God." You know, so that brings us into the rebirth of the Jewish people, of the rebirth of their nation that took place in 1948, a miracle of God, that they would be once again recognized as a nation, recognized as a people group, a miracle of God. Isaiah further talked about it in Isaiah 43. He said, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." Because the Jews were scattered around the world. And again, a miracle of God that he would bring them back into the land of Israel. And they would once again be a people. Amazing of how accurate the word of God is. So that brings us, you know, to the real nitty gritty of this coming temple. Because it is a prophetic sign. So the significance of this third temple, let me just kind of hit on some things here because it is such a key component and it is going to be rebuilt. The Jews already have building plans for a new temple. They just need a place to build it. So the controversy is, can it be built at some place on the Temple Mount without disturbing the Muslim shrine or the Muslim mosque? You know, can that happen? You know, we don't know the answer to that yet. You know, we don't know how it's going to all unfold. But my friend, some way it is going to happen because it is prophesied in the Word of God. So it's significant. It is a key component. A few things here. The temple in Jerusalem to the Jews was never just a structure. It was an earthly dwelling place that would house the divine presence of God. You know, we had a group that was in Israel from our church back in October of last year. And an amazing sight is to see all of those Orthodox Jews gathered at that Western Wall. You know, the remnant, the remnant of the wall around the temple. And, praying that, they don't recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So they're praying for the Messiah to come because they know it's prophesied in the Word of God. But it's an amazing thing to see. And what really stands out to me when I see all of those Orthodox Jews praying at that wall is that, you know, they are wanting, they have a desire to recapture the presence of God because that's what the temple represented. It was not just a building. It was not just a structure. It was an earthly dwelling place for the presence of God. Look at what we read in 1 Kings after the temple was dedicated, the temple of Solomon. It says, "It came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. There it is, the divine presence, the manifested presence of God. Second thing, Ezekiel saw a vision of an eternal and permanent dwelling place of God on the Temple Mount in the holy city of Jerusalem. In Ezekiel chapter 43, he saw the glory of God coming into the temple. He said it came by way of the gate, which faces toward the east. And he said the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And he heard the voice of God speaking. And he said that this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet. And I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Ezekiel saw that vision. Third thing that Ezekiel saw, he further prophesied that the future temple would involve sacrifices being offered as part of the restoration of the Jews being back in the land. Listen to what he says in Ezekiel 42 verse 13. He said, the north chambers and the south chambers, which are opposite the separating courtyard, they are holy chambers where the priests who approach the Lord shall eat the most holy offerings. There it is, the Old Testament institution of the sacrificial system. He said they will lay the holy offerings, the grain offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, for the place is holy. Ezekiel had a vision of this coming prophetic temple. My friends, it is going to happen just as sure as you and I are here today. Well, let's move on. Here's the next thing. See, because the role of a rebuilt temple is the missing piece of the puzzle to last day events, and that would precede the coming of the Lord. All right, so here's some things to understand. Again, Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament prophet Daniel foretold about the Antichrist who would defile the temple before the return of Jesus. Listen to what he says in Daniel 9:27. It says, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Daniel saw the Antichrist. He's making a reference to the tribulation period. This is what is called the 70 weeks of Daniel. You know, and it's symbolic and it's representative of things that would transpire concerning the Antichrist in the last days. And Daniel saw it. Jesus made a reference in his teachings on the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24. Jesus made a reference to the teachings of Daniel, and he made a reference to what Daniel said would be the abomination of desolation, that the temple would be defiled. Daniel saw that. He saw it being done by the Antichrist, but it had already been foreshadowed. That brings me to the second thing here under the role of the rebuilt temple. See, this defilement was already foreshadowed when the Greek king Antiochus IV Epiphanes invaded Jerusalem in 168 BC. He sacrificed a pig on the altar of incense. He then erected a statue of the Greek god Zeus. He declared the daily sacrifices and all other ceremonies to be illegal. Jesus said that a similar abomination would take place just prior to his return. And here it is, Matthew 24, 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. So Jesus made a direct reference to the abomination of desolation. Daniel had a vision of it. Paul had a vision of it taking place later on prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what Paul declared, because he said the man of sin will proclaim himself to be divine and will sit in the temple of God acting as if he were God. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? The day of the Lord, the coming day of the Lord, it will not come unless there is a falling away first, and then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. My friend, that is the ultimate abomination of desolation. That the Antichrist will make a covenant with the Jewish people, but in the middle of the tribulation period, he will break his covenant with them. He will go into the temple. He will set himself up as God. He will demand to be worshiped. And this is exactly what Paul was alluding to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, let's move on. Here's our third heading under our outline today of this coming prophetical temple. The third part, we're going to talk about key components of the coming third temple. And there are preparations that are taking place even now. Let me give you some of those preparations. Even today, there is a Jewish priesthood that is being trained in the old city of Jerusalem. Two Talmudic schools located near the Western Wall are teaching Jewish students the details of temple service. One of the things that amazed me about going to Israel was all of the excavation work that is being done. You know, they are constantly at work. There are things that are taking place. I would love to go to Jerusalem and live there for at least 6 months just to study the scriptures, the culture, end times, and everything that is going on, because there is so much happening there. It is an amazing thing. Why is there so much happening? Because fulfillment of Bible prophecy, my friends, is taking place before our very eyes. Here's the second preparation taking place. Temple sacrifices, offerings, utensils, priestly attire, even the elaborate attire of the high priest are being prepared by the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. That's an organization in Jerusalem being prepared by the Temple Institute. My friend, they are getting ready for this temple because it's prophesied in the Word of God, and they know that it's coming. The third thing, a red heifer is most important to the sacrificial system because its ashes are needed to cleanse Jews from their sins so they can enter the Temple Mount. And a red heifer is rare because it has to be pure. It has to be a 2-year-old cow, female cow. It has to be without spot and without blemish. Does that sound familiar? Jesus Christ, without spot and without blemish, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. You know, so this takes us back, you know, to the laws of purification of the Old Testament. It's recorded in Numbers chapter 19. And he says, this is the ordinance of the law, which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which is no defect and on which a yoke has never come. My friends, when that red heifer is found, when the temple is in place, and that heifer is sacrificed, and the ashes of that red heifer are used in the laws of purification, my friends, we are there. I mean, it is happening. Isn't this interesting of what we read to coincide with this typology and the shadows of these incredible things that we're talking about here today? Listen to what Hebrews chapter 9 says. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, there it is, making a reference back to the Old Testament, sprinkling the unclean. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a red heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, the writer of Hebrews bringing us back to the Old Testament laws of purification, and he's plainly showing us that it all is in typology, foreshadowing Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says next in Hebrews chapter 9. He says in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Man, how awesome is that? Hallelujah. Preparations that are taking place, things that are happening, you know, key components. Another one, of course, is number four, the Ark of the Covenant. Once located in the Holy of Holies, it is considered the most sacred part of the ancient Jewish temple. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah ordered the caretakers of the Ark of the Covenant to return it to the temple in Jerusalem. That is the last time that the Ark's location is mentioned in Scripture. Man, would that be something if they were able to find that? They may find it. You know, who knows? They may find it. But a key component. But again, foreshadowing, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Ark. Hallelujah. Because he, my friend, is the manifest presence of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Number five, last and final thing. Today in Israel, there is a plan to establish the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the ancient ruling body of Israel. The Israel Torah Foundation, there's another organization in Israel. The Israel Torah Foundation is a driving force in restoring the ruling body of the Sanhedrin. My friends, we have never been this close to the rapture of the believers, to the coming of Jesus Christ, as we are now. We are even at the door. And I'm going to leave you with this verse. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Listen to what Jesus says. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree, always represented Israel, and all the trees, when they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is now near. So you also, when you see it happening, know that it is even at the door. He said, this generation will by no means pass away till all of these things take place. My friend, are you right with God? Are you ready to meet the Lord should his coming happen today, tomorrow, next year? I mean, I don't know when it is, but I know it's getting close. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everyone that is hearing this teaching today. I pray for every believer they will be strengthened, encouraged, and that they will have their spirit on fire for you. And Lord, any person, Lord, who may be backslidden, any person who may be lost, I pray right now that they would step into saving faith and make Jesus Christ Lord of their lives. Convict them of their sin and bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ. God bless you, my friends. Thank y'all for being with us today. I hope that this lesson has built your faith and encouraged you. Stay strong. Get ready, because Jesus is coming soon. God bless you in Jesus' name. So come.